الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to our fasting in this great and glorious month, this very great month Allah has given us, the value of ibadat Allah has increased incredibly. We can't understand it, how much Allah has increased the reward. And then this month is a month full of blessings in every aspect. It is a month to just grab from Allah Ta'ala as much as we can, and go out of our way to take from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has prescribed fasting for us in this month, which is a great, great mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And in the fasting, we should try and make the fast what is called a fast. It shouldn't be just staying hungry, but as an ibadat. And we do it as a command of Allah. And Allah give us tawfiq. Our eating also, we do it as a command of Allah, not just for the sake of eating. Our sleeping also, we do it as a command of Allah Ta'ala. Then all this will also become ibadat, and we will be rewarded immensely. We can't imagine how much. Even just going to the toilet, with which we cannot do, that also we do it according to sunnah. And just going to the toilet, it is so, so rewarding, which is the thing that we have to do. Read the dua, enter with the left foot, when coming out, after being outside, read the dua, come out with the right foot. There's few things, and the amount of benefits, of dunya's benefits. And also one important point there, which unfortunately, which is going very fast out of our life, is to squat and relieve ourselves. If we have to, a person is got his majboor, he's got some problems, back problem, knee problems, he can't sit down, that is different. But just for no reason whatsoever. In fact, now it is in almost every home. Little children, when they are trained to relieve themselves, they are also trained on the high toilet. So from the start, Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one of our senior alims, many years ago, he went out with a jamaat and he explained, they went to a masjid with youngsters, who were high school students, university students, and when they had to go to get ready for ta'aleem, and they were in the toilet, and at that time, say there were maybe about 8 toilets with the flat toilet, squat pen, and about 2 toilets with the high pen, and all of them queued by the high toilet. Nobody was going to use the flat toilet. And young people, no, they got no excuse, they are healthy, but unfortunately our lifestyle is changing very drastically and very fast also, and all to our detriment. No goodness in it whatsoever. The way of the sunnah, the way of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all goodness is in there. So where we might feel something about it at this stage also, we all should think, have I made a dua in my heart that Allah changes the condition? And how much we can do, whichever way, going out in jamaat, meeting with friends, explaining to them. One time, one student came from a foreign country, and when he saw the flat toilets, he just couldn't understand what gadget this is. Now, what is this now? He couldn't figure it out. What is this thing here? And so, the way we have been gone into the wrong direction, Allah Ta'ala guide us and let us come on the right direction. So, with regard to the fasting of this month, we explained a few aspects to make the fast a fast, that an ibadat, that it is not just staying hungry, And at night, or even the whole month, is not a month of feasting. As Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, for many of us, it's only the changing of times. And we are not really fasting. Fasting is really, we all understand, to stay away from food. But just we change the times of eating. And in fact, in fasting, we are eating more than what we normally eat. And more rich food, that is no doubt. The rich food that we eat in Ramadan, which normally, and the true spirit of fasting, which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also writes, is that to stay hungry. That is, even when we open, eat reasonably. There also, and the real spirit of fasting is to stay away from permissible things. Not to stay away from haram. To stay away from haram is throughout the, our whole life, the whole year. But Ramadan is to stay away from permissible things. Food is halal. What is roza? To stay away from that halal. To stay away from drink, which is halal. Your wife is halal. To stay away from that. That is what is fasting, to stay away from permissible things. So that whole spirit should carry on. And the whole month, then we will get the benefits really spiritually, physically, in every way we will get that benefit. So even when we open our fast, Allah Ta'ala has made the best to open the fast is on the date. And we had some water, and Allah has made it so in His great, great mercy that we are getting almost throughout the world. And throughout the year also, and in Ramadan particularly, we are getting dates of Medina Sharif. And we are getting Zamzam. How much we should be thankful to Allah Ta'ala in this environment and this condition to open our roza on our deep fries, our samosas, pies, etc., is really doing great, great harm to us. We want to have that still, we should try and avoid it. We still want to have it after namaz, make your namaz. There are such places where still people don't make their maghrib namaz also. They just open roza and they are eating, and there is no thought of maghrib namaz. In fact, one good friend of ours from one of the foreign countries said that in his country, for maghrib, what he suffered, alhamdulillah, things have changed reasonably in his masjid at least. But perhaps in the rest of the all the other masajid is the same. That maghrib in Ramadan, if you get one or two musallis, you are lucky. They are all, the restaurants are booked out long in advance. And they have all parties at the restaurants. How many will then consider making namaz? And if they do, it's out of the masjid, even if all of them. And then if they do, not with jama'at, and just rushing and making the namaz. But generally, if this is our condition in Ramadan, with regard to the faraiz, then we can imagine what is our dini condition. So, he made effort, and now, alhamdulillah, he gets the jama'at in his masjid for maghrib namaz. Otherwise, maghrib is like a prime namaz in Ramadan. The people make iftari. And also one point we should note that where iftari is being made in the masjid or just out of the doors of the masjid, then the people are presently, they are eating, sitting close together. And they are eating and everything. Immediately after that they come in the masjid, they distancing. Forget any laws, forget any health regulations, forget any, what sense does it make? And these are those people who are stern and firm that we should distance in the masjid. But when they are eating together, no distancing whatsoever, no mask, no nothing. And there nothing happens. But in the masjid, Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness. So anyway, keeping our fast, keeping fast of every part of the body, then this fast will really become a fast. Like eating also, when we will eat, and we eat as we are required to. For example, no, if you haven't got a problem to sit on the floor, to share the plate, and all the other adab. But generally, we who are sitting here, if we should check ourselves. We take things for granted. How many of us say our bismillah before eating? Generally, it is omitted. How many of us will say one time, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa shukra while eating. Whereas by that a person becomes the favorite of Allah. Allah says that He loves that banda who when he eats, he says Alhamdulillah, make shukr of our eating can make us a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Our whole islah, and the minute Allah loves you, Allah will make your islah. Allah will correct those things which you feel are impossible. I can't correct myself. I can't give up my bad habits. Once Allah loves you, Allah will do everything for you. As we had explained, that Hazrat Hakim Sahab, our Shaykh, Rahimahullah, has explained this example from the Masnavi of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, Rahmatullah Ali, that one king had died, and the parliament had decided our new king we will choose will be the first person who come to the gates of the palace the next morning. And Allah's doing, the first person to come to the gates was a beggar. And not only a beggar, but whose parents, whose all his ancestry, they were all beggars. And the beggar came, and so they decided the person who comes first, they will make him the king. So they put him on the throne. And when he sat on the throne, and now all the matters, discussion, what must be done about this in the kingdom, about this matter, that matter, and everything he's giving perfect decisions. Listening to the mashura and giving proper, perfect decisions. When the time came for him to go for his rest now, then he asked two courtiers to come and put their hands under his arms and take him how a king is taken. With this great respect and honor he must be taken. So then they said, they took him, they said that, Baksha Salamat, we just don't understand. Till this morning, 4-6 hours ago, you were a beggar. Your parents are beggars. Your whole ancestry are beggars. But you came and you sat here, and what a perfect, like a person who's a groomed king, a seasoned and experienced king, you're making every decision correct. And even every etiquette you are doing perfectly. How did this? So he explained, this also Allah had inspired. He said, that Allah who put me on the throne, the same Allah taught me. And when Allah teaches, Allah doesn't need a 6-year course. Allah teaches immediately. In the battle of Badr, Allah sent Malaika to come and fight also. They are Muqaddas people, people of Zikr, Malaika, not people. The Malaika, what they got to do with fighting and jihad and battle. But as they came, Allah taught them, and immediately they were taught. وَبْرِبْ مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانٍ. Immediately Allah taught them. So when Allah wants to teach, Allah doesn't need a 6-year course. Allah wants to make you a wali, and so many awliya Allah made. Instantly, just in a second, Allah made from where they were, right down in the gutters, to where Allah Ta'ala took them. So to become the favorite of Allah, while eating, just saying, our Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, and Allah just, His love He gave you, now He'll do everything else. If we want to try and do everything, it's very difficult. When Allah chooses, one is inabati Allah. That you want to go towards Allah. That is a procedure also. And one is ijtiba, that Allah chooses you. And Allah pulls you. So the Allah Ta'ala, when He pulls, and there are so many things that we are taught our deen, we just do those things and Allah pulls us and makes us His. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this roza also, let it not be feasting. Let it not be we just changing the times, but really, let us keep the rozas as an ibadat. So for that, to make the rozas, we explained about roza, about the eyes also. And that normally also we think it's only looking at other haram women, what we are not permitted. But really, there is much more detail to that. That the Quran Sharif says, La tamuddanna aynayka ila ma matta'na bih. And generally in that, don't look at all at the lifestyle of other people. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Even a slight inclination of the heart must not be to other people. Whether it's a Western way of life, modern way of life, an Indian way of life, an Arab way of life, Nothing, only the life of Sunnah. That is what we have to, not our forefathers. Forefathers which are right and righteous, we follow them 100%. But if they were also wrong, we don't follow them. We follow what is the Quran and Hadith. Not just like many people who have got some bid'at in there. And they say, our parents were doing this all the years. So how can we give it up? So there we don't follow them. We follow what is according to Sunnah. That is the essence. So, and then also, that we don't look down upon anyone with our eyes, and we don't think low about anyone. Then the roza of the tongue, which is also very important, what we speak, and to control that. And yeah, again, if in the month of Ramadan we stay away from permissible things, by the barakat of that, Allah will save us from haram throughout the year, and our whole lives Allah will save us from haram. So yeah, the roza of these things, like the roza of the shari'i, fiqhi, roza is to stay away from certain permissible things. Like that roza of the rest of the parts of the body, also for this month, and it is only for this period. This ayyamun ma'dudat, a few days. Days which you can count on your finger, 30 days. It's not a long period. Just stay away from permissible things. And then Allah Ta'ala will make it that you will not only stay away from haram, Allah will not only make it easy, but Allah will make it enjoyable to stay away from haram. That person's enjoyment of Islam, we cannot imagine. One is a person where at the beginning stages, you fight your nafs. You want to do the wrong. Your sports, you just can't do without your sports. Just to talk and everywhere to have a comment. Whatever is happening, who you meet, who you pass, you're making some comment. You can't control your tongue. When the wife is speaking, you just can't control. You have to say, you have to have the final word there also. Friends are talking, your input has to be there. You can't just be a listener. You just can't control your tongue. But just this one month, stay away from permissible talk also. Only what is absolutely essential and urgent, speak that. From permissible talk also, Allah will keep that tongue under control for the rest of the year also. Then with the ears, roza of the ears, whatever is not permissible to be spoken, is not permissible to be heard also. So don't sit and even just hear, ghibat, backbiting. And also one thing which we are all so much involved in, la yani, fuzul, unnecessary things. And this is, this hadith, great, great ulama, muhaddithin have said, is one third of Islam, of tarke la yani, to give up la yani. And la yani seems to be just that, which is no benefit, no harm. You just were like passing your time. But this can take you right out of the fold of Islam. And this can take you right to the height of Islam and of Jannah. If you stay away from it, you will progress so much. And this is a thing that we so much involved in, la yani, in different types of things, whether it's on the phone, whether it's with friends, well, a lot of la yani, unnecessary things. So roza of the ears, roza of the mind and heart, the wasawis we discussed. And there is still much more that have to be discussed also. So all wasawis, weird thoughts, funny kind of thoughts, good thoughts of guna also, whether it is fantasizing, whether it is thinking low about somebody, all these types of thoughts. And then with gunas which are regarded with mind and heart, overall, is which comes in the hadith, one piece of flesh in the body, the heart, if that is corrected, everything is corrected. So, and the whole effort of the Khanqa and of coming here is to get our heart in order. So in the heart, there are those maladies and sicknesses which are worse than the virus presently. And we are plagued with those things. One is pride. Pride, today almost it is across the board. A person who is downright, an ignorant person who has got no knowledge, he's also got pride. And the person who has got the most knowledge, he's also got pride. Dini knowledge. ilm, deeni ilm also is such a thing. With it, it brings this pride also. Unless effort is made to take it out, otherwise it comes with it also. And in the other way of knowledge, in the dunya, all this know how to do things, whether it's medicine, engineering, it just pride comes with there also. In everything it comes. So, and this pride is not only a killer disease, but very contagious also, and it is a disease that is the mother of many other diseases. From pride, then our arrogance, boastfulness, and then from our pride, anger also. Pride itself is an illegitimate thing, and anger is an illegitimate of an illegitimate. So we can imagine how, what harm there is in anger. And in anger, as we had explained, a person kills somebody. Husband gives his wife talaq. And with children, grown-up children, 5, 10 children, and now he gives his wife talaq. He's crying the whole night. She's crying the whole night. But just in anger. And then we want to try and justify it and correct it also. There are people who went very, very much astray just because they had given talaq and the muftis gave the fatwa that talaq has taken place. They became enemies of the muftis. They became enemies of deen. They went out of the fold of Islam. It leads you to where? So this anger also is a thing that we have to work on. Anyway, with all those things, then ulama have prescribed roza of the stomach also. Like that we all will say, we keep roza of the stomach, we don't eat. But roza, what they refer to there, is to see what we put in the stomach. Whether it is halal, and so halal also is not sufficient, halal and tayyiba. And then what we put in the stomach, from which sources did we acquire it. So our income must also be halal, we have to be concerned about that also. And every day after Zuhr, the kitab is reading about our mu'amalat, our financial matters, to make sure that our earnings are halal. And this is also a very important aspect, to make sure that we make an effort, a thorough effort, that we eat halal. Just the barakat of halal, and not only halal, but halal and tayyiba. One great alim has written that there were four sons of a father, and the father had become ill now, old age, and he needed khidmat. So one of the sons whom Allah had blessed, he presented to his brothers and told them that I make an offer to you, that you three brothers, you make father's khidmat, look after him, see to him everything. And when he passes away, I take all the inheritance. You will make all the khidmat, and when he passes away, his whole inheritance come to me. Of course, who's going to accept that? Alternatively, I make his khidmat. And then I take nothing of the inheritance. The whole inheritance you people take. This is what he wanted, but he presented it. This is that what Allah puts in the mind, how to sort out things. They were just too happy. And he did khidmat, an exemplary khidmat. Served his father properly, and then he passed away, and abad, as he said, he didn't take one pie, one cent from the inheritance. He left it for his brothers. That night he sees a dream that in a certain place there are 100 gold coins. Our time Kruger ranks, 100 of them are in a certain place, they are for you, they are halal, go and take it. He asked in the dream, again, this is inspiration, even in the dream, that is there barakat in that money? They say, no barakat. The morning he mentioned it to his wife, and naturally, she said, what are you wasting time for? Halal money. And the barakat, well, with the, but use halal, 100 gold coins, go and take it. But he was also firm, how Allah had made him. He didn't. Next night he dreamt that there are 10 gold coins in a certain place. Go and take it. Barakat? No, no barakat. He told his wife, she said, you must 100. Now where are you missing out on the 10? He didn't go. The next night he dreamt 1 gold coin. And barakat? Yes, there is barakat in there. So he went and take it. He came in, as he was coming, he bought 2 fish for eating at home. When he brought it home, and when they cut it open, both of that fish, each one had a pearl in it. And the value of that, all the jewelers of the town together couldn't purchase it. The value of it was so great. Only the king could purchase it. And the value that was paid, 90 camel loads of gold. Not 100 coins, not 10 coins, 90 camel loads of gold. That was the price that was paid. So this is what is, when it is halal, and halal and tayyiba. The income also, though it might be small, a person, and a very important principle which our elders teach us, that when you are earning, and usually when a person starts, he doesn't earn a big salary, perhaps afterwards he earns more, beginning is small. So that small salary, in that, what we should do, our elders teach us, that stretch your expenses according to your salary. We want to live our lifestyle and earn more. No, how much you are earning, make your salary, make all your expenses come out within that. Cut down. Lower your standard of living. Cut down on your expenses. Go through it. Just you do that. And then Allah will give lot of barakat. And the other aspect which is taught in the Western way of take loans, etc. And loans are easily available. And we've explained a bit in detail what it leads a person to. So when you do that, then you need more and more money. In fact, governments of the world, perhaps every government, they are all in so much of debt. They haven't got the money. They just, all the expenses, they just increase the limit of taking debt. And they are just living on debts all the time. Whether it is the richest countries of the world, and so sad to say, even Saudi, which with all its oil reserves and resources and exports, they are also in debt now. And the World Bank, etc., all these people are just living with or just servicing their debt, paying the interest all the time. They are just living on interest, they just paying the interest. The capital amount can't be touched also that to be paid. So this is what the destruction of this capitalist system, or whether it's a socialist system, Islamic system in the middle, that is the perfect system. So our earning also, we should see, and we should try and limit our expenses according to our earning. And don't try and earn according to our needs. Our needs, cut them down. In this, Allah will give lot of barakat also. So we should see that our earnings are also correct. We should make an effort. And for that, we should acquire the knowledge. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person was not permitted to do business until he knew the laws of business. Like today, we can't operate a car on a public road without a driver's license. And to get a driver's license, not only do you have to know the laws, but you have to pass a driving test also, practical test also. Then only are you allowed to drive on a public road. In the time of Sayyidina Umar, you couldn't do business till you knew the laws of business. And today, we don't know the laws of the government also. We apply them, we try and find out and we apply them. But laws of Sharia, people who are like regarded very pious also. But we don't ever think even that there are laws of Sharia that we have to know. And if we can, and Allah reward Maulana, mashallah, this kitab, that is all these kitabs which are prepared, we should try and study, get these kitabs, and then study them, inshallah. And then see that our, and of course, that is also not the complete thing. Everyone, we should try and find out more. So our earnings, we should also be concerned about it. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah in his time, and long before that already, Hazrat Shaykh wrote, when today, that is about 100 years ago when Hazrat wrote the kitab, when every effort is being made to make interest halal and jais, all the haram things, when people think there is nothing wrong with taking bribes or giving of bribes, Ar-Rashi wal-Murtashi, kilahuma finnar. The one who gives a bribe and the one who takes a bribe, both of them are in the fire of Jahannam. Haram earnings, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that when Hajjaj became king, before that there was a group of great, great pious people. Whenever a wrong person became the king, the ruler, they should make one baddua and he should be removed. When he became king, the first thing he did, he invited them, and after they ate, he said, "Now I'm not afraid of their baddua, because now I've put haram in their stomach. Now the du'as won't be accepted. So I'm not afraid of the bad du'as." And how he ruled also, after how long he ruled and how he ruled, and he wasn't afraid of the bad du'as. Today the governments of the countries, they are the worst enemies of the poor, of their citizens, and the worst enemies of the poor citizens. They serve the causes and agendas of other rich countries out of there. They fill their pockets and their stomachs, but the poor in their country are suffering, whereas they are supposed to serve the people of the country. They are supposed to serve the country, but the complaint because of all this wrong direction that we are. And this is not only non-Muslim countries, even our Muslim countries, unfortunately, which are known as Muslim countries. And also, in spite of all what we are in, the negative things, the most of any religion that they are called Muslim, religious countries, is only Muslim countries. Whether they are about 25, 30 countries which call themselves Muslim countries. Though unfortunately they are not, but on paper they say they are Muslim. But no other. Hindu also, there is only one Nepal which is a Hindu ruled by according to Hinduism. Now India is trying to become also like that. But anyway, even Christian, there is no, only the Vatican, and that's not a country of its own. That is part of Italy, it is part, it is not a country of only Islam. And if we make little tawajjuh at our du'as at least, make some efforts, and these Muslim countries become Muslim practically, reasonably, 5%, 2%, what a change will come in the world. And if we become more than that, what to say? And it is in our hands, and Allah has given us. Nobody can take our du'a away from us. Maybe they can take our weapons away, physical weapons, but du'a nobody can. And what we have got, and the strongest weapon is du'a, but we are not using it at all. And these du'as are really, really very, very powerful, and they really work, but we are not using it at all. So Allah give us tawfiq. So anyway, as far as eating is concerned, we should see our income also. One person went to a butcher to buy meat, and he asked the butcher, "Is your meat halal?" The butcher asked him, "Is your money halal?" Today our money is not halal, and what we're buying is not halal also. So we should be concerned about that, and what we eat, and who we mix with. What we are exposed to, these are the two things which have got a great, great impact on us. Whether it's our akhlaq, whether it's our aqaid and our beliefs, whether it is our ibadat, a person who eats halal, his body will make him do ibadat. And a person who consumes haram, even if he wants to, and many of us experience, we want to do the right thing, but that haram will make us do the wrong thing. It will take us to the wrong thing. Our desires will be always. This is what we say also, this wasawis also. It has to do with our eating also. This our enjoyment of guna. That a person is looking at a woman, whether it's on the cell phone or on the street, haram woman, and he's getting enjoyment looking at her. Or a person is talking at work, joking around with the other woman, etc., and finding pleasure in there. It is all this effect of the food. And if it is proper halal food, which Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave one bayan one day, and he said, he started his bayan, that all love food and eating. So let's make bayan on food and eating. But what a bayan Hazrat made. Ya ayyuha ar-rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat. Rusul, the mursaleen, the rasuls, who are the highest class, above the anbiya also. The highest class are the rasuls. For them Allah is addressing. And Allah is telling them not only to eat halal, ya ayyuha ar-rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat. Not only halal, halal is not sufficient also, and especially for their class. And then automatic result of that is وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Well, the minute you're going to eat the halal, and halal and طَيِّبًا, amali salihah will be the natural result of that. And then amali salihah will start from La ilaha illallah, which is the greatest amali salih. It will go to our akhlaq, our character. It will go to every aspect, our adab, our etiquette of things also. That has got an effect. Our company, what we keep, is also most important. That who we associate with, whether it is on the phone we are associating, and we are just looking at all the websites of non-Muslims. We are looking just at what the government has got to say, and at the moment with the protocols, and what they have got to say, and their reasoning, that will definitely have an influence on a person. And a person will start thinking on those lines. If you look at Quran and Hadith, and you look at our Akabir and Aslaf, what they got to say, that will influence you. What you're going to be exposed to, you're going to think like that. And any and everyone, and no matter what great alim you are, and you spend so many years in learning, so many years in teaching, and no matter what sohbat also you had, but the minute you get exposed to these other things, and that haram food, if it has to come, or doubtful food, it will wash out all that years of all that. So these are very important things that we have to watch. So the food that we eat also is very, very important to see. And today, when we have reached that almost all, it started, all these things, whether it is the security companies, who started security companies? Rogues and thieves. They went and rob, and then they went and offer protection. And then they opened a security company. Where did the junk food start from? Junk food started from the people who didn't have the proper good food to eat. And today junk food is advertised that it is good for your health. You call it junk food. You eat junk food. A person who grows up having zamzam, he will become a makki. He will have the akhlaq and character. A person who eats khajur of Medina will be a madani. And a person who eats junk food will be a junkie. There is no doubt about it. Today we are complaining about our youngsters, what habits they have got, how obstinate they are, how stubborn they are. They just don't want to listen to anyone. What are we feeding them? Not only what they are eating, from the literature, the child that goes, who's 5 years old, even 4, 3 years now, pre-primary and where. And the food, the little lunch we prepare, a can of Coke perhaps, a packet of crisps, and that all that, no nutritional value in there. It is just filling the stomach, a sense of being filled. And no nutritional value. No, our brains don't get any nutrition. The body doesn't get any nutrition, and we're just filling. And we are giving that. Now when they become like that, like my ustad told, we are planting weeds and we expect roses to grow. First of all, nobody plants weeds. Weeds grow on their own. And if you don't take out the weeds, whether it is your kukuyu lawn, which is a strong lawn, it's a fighter lawn, it's very strong, but weeds will overpower it also. If you don't remove your weeds, that lawn of yours, the other types of lawn which are very expensive also, and very fine grass, but the kukuyu is a rough growing lawn. And that is the most common here in many countries now. But that also, the weeds overpower it, if you don't take out your weeds. And we are planting weeds, and we are expecting roses to grow. How can this happen? Our ustad also told us, one person complained to him in the days of apartheid, when university education was not open yet. Those years he was sending his daughter to England, to UK, to go and study medicine. And he said, she was a young girl, all on her own, she'll have her own flat, she'll have her own car, and everything paid. So he said, and you know, at that time also, and now even more, the freedom and laxity and the way of thinking of the people. And a young girl, what will happen to her? She'll get destroyed there. So she told my ustad that make dua, Allah protect her. He was a Allah wala. He made thought for 1-2 seconds and then he said, what you are telling me is that you want to send your daughter in the rain and I must make dua, she mustn't get wet. He said, it doesn't work like that. You're sending her in the rain, she has to get wet. We're putting our children today, voluntary, paying huge amounts to put them in, not in the lion's den, but in the lion's mouth. And not in the lion's mouth, in shaitan's mouth. And then we say, must make dua, they don't get influenced with that environment there. It doesn't work like that. So this environment also, that we are all so much, we don't think. And this we should think also. For example, we take a flight from here to Durban, Cape Town. In that flight, the Muslims, maybe, how many? Maybe 2%, 5%. We are amongst the non-Muslims. Who of us feel anything on our heart when we were 1 hour, 2 hours in the company of the non-Muslim? Even no speaking, no nothing. If it's an international flight, 8 hours, 10 hours, perhaps 12 hours, and then, but we don't feel anything. When the heart is gone completely dead, it doesn't feel anything. When it's gone completely black, it doesn't feel any, no dirt has an effect on it. Otherwise, we should feel. The whole day we are at work, we have to shop. Females are also coming, necessity, with all the rules of Sharia we observe, but at least end of the day, make tawbah istighfar. Where our great people, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, should go to Mewat for dini work, and Mewat of those days, 150, 120, 100 years ago, where there was no dunya, even today's Mewat, what is it? But those days, but when he should come back, he should feel the grind of the filth and dirt of dunya. And he should go immediately for a week, 10 days, 3 days to the khankas of Gangoh and Saharanpur to remove that dirt. Today, no one tawbah also, we're still smiling. Until the last, we even in fact made an acquaintance on the plane. And on the plane, while we're leaving the airport, we're still talking also. And we don't feel anything. We're even exchanging phone numbers and all the things. And we don't feel, and still my namazes are there 5 times. I'm still a good Musalli and I'm still a good Muslim. Allah Ta'ala, so our environment which we subject ourselves to and the food that we eat is very, very important. If a person eats halal food, and one little advice, buzurgs have advised, the women folk when they are eating, they're cooking the food, if they read 100 times Durood Sharif and blow on that food, and if 100 seems too much, which is not, which won't even take a month, and while cooking you can read. And you don't have to count on your fingers. You know yourself. You can work it out once or twice to read 100 times Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It takes me 1.5 minutes. It takes me 2 minutes. So just you see the time, 2 minutes you read and then you blow. And then see those children that will be born. If not 100, at least 10 times. That shouldn't be anything difficult. Washing the faces of the children, etc., small little children, read La Ilaha Illallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And read Durood Sharif. Then see the effect for the health of their children, for the happiness of their children. We all want the happiness of our children. We all want the health of our children. But as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when in the things which he calls, we're giving them the wrong food. And the right things we are not giving them. When we're looking at poison as medicine, and we're looking at medicine as poison, then what hope is there for such a person? Hazrat says, for mushtaka ilallah, there is no other way, but we complain to Allah now. That only Allah, you can help us. So food is very, very important. So the month of Ramadan is a month of fasting. And fasting also in the sense that we fast from all haram. And in fact, really, if we really want the benefit, fast from permissible food also. That is, just have how much is necessary. We had Maulana Abdullah Darwish, Rahmatullah Ali, who should come almost every year for i'tikaf. And on his own, he should just do, and how much Quran Sharif he should read. a lot of Quran Sharif. When he should go and eat for iftari after Maghrib, he should go a bit late, he should read his Quran, but not hold up the people who have to serve and that. When all the food that was left in the plate, he should eat that food. He shouldn't take the fresh food. Today we will complain that what kind of food you're giving me. We know our husband want to eat the wife's leftover. Wife doesn't want to, not leftover. We don't want to sit eat together. Brother don't want to eat, drink from the glass the sister drank from, or his brother drank from. Whereas our system is, we share the food, there is barakat in that food. There is shifa in that food. There is love in that food. Therefore, the fuqaha have written, if strange men come to the house and they left some food in the plate, don't let the woman folk eat that. That can cause love to be develop between them. And the rain, like nobody can deny today. Nobody can deny radiation. Microwave, cell phone radiation, this radiation also takes place in such a secret way you can't make out. So if we sit together and eat, today there is no real love between husband and wife also. Just it's a matter of a few days till the honeymoon days, and after that is fighting after that. Or it is before the nikah. All the love is done before nikah. Once nikah is made, after that fighting starts. And before you know what, they want to break up. And now they want to go to Maulana and sort out problems, and they want to break up. It's all these things which are causing this. And we are thinking those are the things, the Western way of life, the outward is just a outward deceit. It looks so rosy, but it brings all the harms of it. It's filled with snakes and scorpions and fire, and what fire it brings in the houses. And an Islamic way of life is simple outwardly, but it brings all the barakat, the muhabbat, what children are born from there. And then those in the old age, those children serve their parents and look after them. That is the real essence. So Allah Ta'ala give us understanding of this Ramadan, that the fasting, make it a fast. Let it not be feasting. Make sure our food we eat is halal, halal and tayyiba. And then see the results of our thinking, our akhlaq, our tongue, everything will act. Our deen is so complete. Just one aspect we try and look after, it will look after everything else. But we are destroying every aspect and department of our deen. May Allah guide us to righteousness and accept us for His deen, inshallah.